You know what nobody talks about when they talk about electric aircraft? Where you plug them in? I'm Vector on Clear Direct Radio Hangers Technology Deep Dive, and today I want to tell you about a company in Burlington, Vermont that figured out something the rest of the industry is still ignoring. The airplane is only half the problem. Beta Technologies. If you haven't heard of them yet, you will. They're building a full-size electric aircraft called the CX-300, and they're simultaneously building the charging infrastructure to support it. That second part is what makes them genuinely different from almost every other electric aviation startup out there. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you've got a milestone worth marking, a first solo, a new rating, a CFI certificate, they make aviation challenge coins that actually do the moment justice. Beautifully crafted and built to last. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. So let's break this down. Beta Technologies was founded in 2017 by Kyle Clark. Clark's background is fascinating. He's got a PhD in engineering from Harvard. He was a professional hockey player in Europe, and he's a pilot. He started the company out of a small hangar at Burlington International Airport in Vermont. And the origin story matters because it tells you something about how this company thinks. Clark wasn't trying to build a flying taxi for Manhattan. He wasn't chasing the air taxi hype cycle. He looked at the problem from the other end. What missions can electric aircraft actually do right now with battery technology as it exists today? Not as we hope it'll be in 2030. The answer he came to was short-range cargo and logistics, medical deliveries, organ transport, military resupply. Missions where you're moving critical things relatively short distances, where the economics of electric propulsion actually work, and where vertical takeoff and landing is a genuine operational advantage, not just a cool demo. The aircraft itself, the CX-300, is a fixed-wing design with a conventional tail. It doesn't look like most of the eVTOL concepts you've seen, with 8 or 12 or 16 rotors stuck everywhere. It has 4 lift rotors for vertical flight and a pusher prop in the back for cruise. Wingspan of about 50 feet, it's designed to carry up to 1,400 pounds of payload, roughly 250 nautical miles on a single charge. Now, 250 miles. I know what you're thinking, that's not very far. And you're right, with current lithium-ion battery energy density. That's roughly where the physics puts you for an aircraft of this size. Beta isn't pretending otherwise, and that honesty is actually refreshing in a space full of companies promising 500-mile ranges that quietly assume battery breakthroughs that haven't happened yet. Here's what most people miss about Beta. While companies like Joby and Archer and Lilium were pouring billions into airframe development and Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, certification for their passenger vehicles, Beta was doing something that looked almost boring by comparison. They were building charging stations. They call them charge cubes. Each one is a modular, self-contained electric vehicle charging unit. They started deploying them along the east coast of the United States, from Vermont down through the mid-Atlantic states. As of early 2026, they've got over 40 locations, many of them at existing airports. Think about why that's smart. Every electric aviation company faces the same chicken and egg problem. Airlines and operators won't buy electric aircraft if there's nowhere to charge them. But nobody's going to build charging infrastructure if there aren't electric aircraft to use it. Beta decided to be both the chicken and the egg. And here's where it gets really clever. Those charge cubes aren't just for aircraft, they're compatible with electric ground vehicles too. So while Beta is still working through the certification process for the CX-300, the charging network is already generating revenue by charging electric trucks, vans, and cars. The United Parcel Service, UPS for short, is one of their customers on the ground vehicle side. So the infrastructure pays for itself before the first aircraft ever plugs in. The data tells an interesting story when you look at Beta's approach versus the rest of the electric aviation field. Most eVTOL startups have followed a similar playbook. Raise enormous amounts of venture capital, go public through a special purpose acquisition company, spend aggressively on aircraft development, and race to FAA certification. The assumption is that once you have a certified aircraft, the market will materialize. Beta went a different direction. They raised significant funding, absolutely. They've brought in over $800 million, but they've stayed private, which gives them more flexibility on timeline. They've diversified their revenue streams with the charging business. And they've secured some very interesting contracts that aren't dependent on having a certified passenger vehicle. The United States military has been a major partner. Beta has contracts with the Air Force through the Agility Prime program, which is essentially the Department of Defense's effort to accelerate electric vertical takeoff and landing technology. The Army has also been evaluating the aircraft for logistics missions. Military customers care about different things than commercial operators. They want the ability to operate from austere locations without traditional runway infrastructure. They want reduced thermal signatures. They want lower maintenance burden compared to helicopters. Electric propulsion checks several of those boxes simultaneously. United Therapeutics, the biotech company, has placed an order for aircraft specifically for organ delivery. When you need to move a donor organ from one hospital to another within a window of just a few hours, the ability to take off vertically from a hospital rooftop, fly 200 miles, and land vertically at the destination hospital is genuinely transformative. You don't need 500 miles of range for that mission. You don't need to carry 12 passengers. You need reliability. You need vertical capability. And you need a vehicle that can operate in an urban environment without the noise and complexity of a helicopter. Now, let me be honest about the challenges, because they're real and they're significant. Certification is the big one. BETA is pursuing what's called a type certificate from the FAA under Part 23, which covers normal category aircraft. They've been working closely with the FAA and by most accounts have a constructive relationship with the certification office. But this is still an entirely new propulsion category. The FAA is essentially writing the certification standards as they go, particularly around battery safety, electric motor reliability, and high voltage systems in flight. There is no established playbook the way there is for certifying a new piston engine or turbofan. Battery technology remains a fundamental constraint. Current lithium-ion cells give you roughly 250 to 300 watt-hours per kilogram at the pack level. Compare that to jet fuel at roughly 12,000 watt-hours per kilogram. Yes, electric motors are far more efficient than turbines, which closes the gap somewhat, but the energy density disadvantage is still enormous. BETA's honest about this. Their aircraft is designed around what batteries can do today, not around optimistic projections. The business model also has risk. BETA is essentially building two companies at once, an aircraft manufacturer and an energy infrastructure company. That's capital intensive. If the aircraft certification takes longer than expected, and an aviation certification almost always takes longer than expected, the charging network has to carry more of the financial load. It's a reasonable hedge, but it's still a hedge. There's also the competitive landscape to consider. Joby Aviation has over $2 billion in funding and is further along in FAA certification for a passenger eVTOL. Archer Aviation has a massive order book and a partnership with United Airlines. Lilium emerged from restructuring and is continuing development in Europe. These companies are all pursuing the urban air mobility passenger market, which is different from BETA's focus, but there's meaningful overlap in the technology and in the regulatory attention from the FAA. What I find genuinely interesting about BETA is the engineering philosophy Clark has talked publicly about what he calls the minimum viable aircraft. Not minimum viable product in the Silicon Valley sense of shipping something half-baked. More like, what is the simplest aircraft design that accomplishes the mission with the highest possible reliability? The CX-300's design reflects this. Four lift rotors, one cruise propeller, a conventional wing and tail, no tilt rotors, no complex transition mechanisms between hover and forward flight. The lift rotors are used only for takeoff and landing. Then they stop and the aircraft flies on its wing like a normal airplane. That simplicity reduces the number of failure modes. It makes the certification argument cleaner, and it makes maintenance more straightforward, which matters enormously for any operator thinking about total cost of ownership. They've also been thoughtful about their testing program. They built a full-scale technology demonstrator called the ALIA, which has been flying since 2022. They've accumulated a meaningful amount of flight test data, and rather than trying to do everything at their home base, they've flown the aircraft cross-country using their own charging network along the way. That's not just a publicity stunt, it's real-world validation of the operational concept. Can you actually fly this aircraft from point A to point B, charge it at a public facility, and fly the next leg? The answer appears to be yes. Let me talk about what's coming next. BETA expects to begin initial deliveries of the CX-300 in the 2027 to 2028 timeframe, starting with cargo and military variants. Passenger certification would follow later. The charging network will continue to expand, with a goal of covering major corridors in the eastern United States and eventually going nationwide. The realistic view, electric aviation is not going to replace your Cessna 172 or your Cirrus SR-22 anytime soon. The energy density math just doesn't work for general aviation's typical mission profiles yet. But for specific, short-range, high-value missions, the technology is genuinely close. Organ transport, military resupply, time-critical cargo in congested urban areas, these are missions where the economics already pencil out, where the operational advantages of electric propulsion are tangible, and where BETA has positioned itself very deliberately. If you want to keep an eye on this space, the FAA's ongoing rulemaking for electric propulsion special conditions is worth following. The agency publishes proposed rules and final rules in the Federal Register. BETA's own flight test updates show up occasionally on their website and through defense contracting databases. And if you happen to be at any of the airports along the East Coast where they've installed charge cubes, go take a look. They're real. They're operational, and they're quietly building the foundation for a transportation network most people haven't noticed yet. The sources behind today's segment include Beta Technologies' public disclosures, reporting from Aviation Week and the Air Current, and published FAA certification activity documents. That's going to do it. Find more at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector. Sometimes the most revolutionary thing isn't the airplane, it's what's on the ground waiting for it.